We're going to do something a little different today. I have Junhee Han here, and he's going to help in sharing the word and also wrestling with it. A clergy friend of mine is starting a new church in Chicago, and it was featured on the Today Show for its uniqueness, because instead of sermons, in worship, it is letting the members of the church steer the reflection by sharing what is on their hearts and minds. Since I know that as a preacher, I'm given the power in this pulpit to speak, often without knowing exactly what's going on in your minds, I lament that the one-direction communication that can sometimes happen between preacher and parishioners sometimes misses what it is you really need to hear. And so, a church like this one in Chicago has its appeal to me. At the same time, I recognize you called me here for a reason. You have examined my training and 12 years in pastoral ministry. You've heard my theological perspectives and have chosen to put your trust in my preparation over the many years of ministry and also in the days leading up to each sermon I give. A recent Gallup poll revealed that hearing inspiring sermons from a worship leader is the primary reason most people come to church. Well, hopefully you've got good reasons to come, and sometimes I know I might miss the mark, but keep coming, you might find it. Still, I want to make the occasion to challenge our congregation to share a bit of what it is like to be on a faith journey. After all, practicing faith is not only the job of the seminary-trained pastor, it's the work of all the people. And it's not always easy work. The Pew Research Center did a study on faith in American life several years ago and found that the largest growing group in America is the nuns. And I don't mean women wearing habits that you might find down the road at St. John's Roman Catholic Church. More and more are choosing not to affiliate. They choose no faith. And we are seeing churches of all denominations and shrink and even close their doors, as was witnessed a couple of years ago with the Lutheran church here in town. And I know Jessely's church in Inglewood closed a few years ago. We're glad to have you here. But before one moves from a fully robust faith to acknowledging no faith at all, I think we need to acknowledge a pretty large group of people that's somewhere in between. And they're showing up, hopefully. Let's call them the Somes. These are the people who have some faith, but may not fit neatly into wholehearted confessions of faith, or may feel like more of an outsider than an insider in many religious groups. The church's future relies on how we treat the Somes out there. Luckily, the Bible gives us some examples of doubt and struggle with faith. This Sunday, the lectionary gives us a story of Thomas demanding to touch and see and put his hands inside the wounds of Jesus. "Until I do that," he says, "I will not believe." Even before Thomas, we know Jacob of the Old Testament, who wrestled with an angel along the Jabbok River and prevailed and was given a new name, Israel, which means struggles with God. This Sunday, I want to model how one Christian struggles with faith and yet still finds a way to be part of the body of Christ. He's here, and he has graciously agreed to share some of his story.
Hi. When Leah asked me to do a personal story this Sunday, I thought Leah underestimated capability for my public speech, but I might be a little better in number than a speech, but I'll give it a try this time. I admit I don't have a sufficient understanding in philosophy or deep spiritual practice to give neat answers on the Christian's challenge between a belief and doubt. Instead, I'm trying to put my own story of how my religious views have progressed and adjusted over time. This is I speak for myself. I'm not trying to test your faith. In our congregation, I may be viewed or recognized as a normal Christian, maybe not. I come to church most of Sundays, do choirs, and participate in some church events. My story could be a coming out session for this time. I want to try to reveal myself to you and hope it will cause some self-awareness for me as well. I've been thinking about the struggle between the doubt and belief and my current life stage, honestly. Let me begin with my youth. My church life began when I was 5 years old. My dad died of lung cancer. My mother seemed very sad and needed hope and help raising two young boys. Perhaps the Bible's message that Jesus will take care of the orphans and widows were a light for her life at that point. Our three family members started coming to church and found a relief there. My mom and I became more active in church while my younger brother found his interest elsewhere. I enjoyed playing in the church band and the basketball games with other kids at the church. Up to that point in Korea, Christianity was not that popular, but began boom when I was a teenager in the 1980s to 90s. Many Koreans accepted ideas that Western countries, especially the United States, had been rich and blessed because of their strong Christianity identity. In that time, Korea had an intense focus on economy, which was developing rapidly. Christianity had been also spreading so quickly at that time. People in a poor and developing country maybe need some hopes, I think. Like most teenagers, I started asking questions, what is the meaning of life? Who is God? And how can I be sure of God's existence? How can I understand why there are so many kids who cried and confessed, Jesus is my Lord, during worship service? I asked a question. I was confused. I did not feel or hear any voices like Jesus speaking to me in the worship service. I thought I'm alone myself. How did my peers hear? I was eager to hear his voice, and I wanted to feel called to confess Jesus like the other kids. But it didn't happen to me. Once a young pastor even pushed the kids to stand up during a worship service, if anyone felt a calling to be a future pastor, some kids really stood up in response. I was surprised. How can one person totally change it to a different person in a few hours in a worship service, even accepting a calling to a pastor? However, it really inspired me as well at the same time. So I cried out so hard to listen for something in a worship service. While no voice spoke to me, I emotionally, maybe spiritually, felt that I was blessed and saved by Jesus. Blessed are those who have not seen any yet have believed was a big hope for me at the time. I thought I was more blessed because I believed in him without hearing anything. In college, I kept busy with the church activities, school, friends, and other stuff instead of focusing on my spirituality. At that time, I thought I would go to heaven because if I keep trying to be a good Christian and believe in God, I will go to heaven. But as I opened my eyes to modern reality, I noticed differences from what I heard and was taught by the Bible. My confusion grew through my mid-20s when I had noticed the existence of structural evil and was disappointed to find that many Christians perpetuate this evil. I was uncomfortable seeing many people come to the church asking that they and their family become blessed with money and success. When they become rich or gain the social power, they automatically begin influential and big favored church members. It felt wrong to me. Some churches grew enormously in Korea, and their pastors drove expensive cars and lived in extravagant homes. I wonder what was going on. If Jesus is alive and real, and they believe in Jesus, how could this happen? I even saw churches contribute to social inequality and unjust system and policies when they gained the political and financial power. I saw the church wanted to influence people and society with the political and financial power, not by Jesus' love and mercy. The poor and hungry were no longer of interest to church unless they helped to expand the church's size or solidify the position of the wealthy and powerful. This problem does not just belong to South Korea, I think. As Christianity took its place as the most dominant world religion, the messages of Jesus were often corrupted all over the world. in my view. In Korea, Buddhism and Confucianism dominate our culture for the past 2,500 years. We have a 5,000 years history, but in modern history, it's 2,500 years. Christianity was introduced to Korea only about 105 years ago. Why did God not bring his message to my small eastern country thousands of years ago? What happened to people who had lived and died during that period? Some pastor or professors explained that the people who never heard of Jesus but lived conscientiously went to the heaven, so their eternal lives were not in danger. But I still didn't understand. Is going to heaven enough to satisfy life's meaning while life on ground is without hope and happiness? I felt many conflicts. I also even felt many conflicts existing from the Old Testament to the New Testament in the Bible. The tone of God's voice treatment of people seems totally different between two testaments sometimes. Why did God only care about the Israelite people in the Old Testament, but then turn his interest to all the people in the world in the New? I've learned that we need to understand what God's intent behind the words is, but that's not clear enough to me. When I came to United States in 2006, I hoped to gain knowledge and experience to bring to these struggles of faith. I arrived at our church at that same year. The pastor I met, Reverend Deborah and Reverend Chung, were different than the pastor I had known before. It was very kind of a turning point to me. Their speech and teaching was not charismatic, but very calm and soft. But they were very confident in their faith and vision. They did not push people, but delivered the message confidently. At that time, I was very disappointed that I couldn't do much, as I am too small to fight structural evil. And even the burden of life was so heavy at the time, too. I admit, I wanted to do something good for me, not for God. By their help and guidance, I was relieved to realize I could do good for just doing good. It did not have to have the holy devotion, which I was really obsessed with the feeling, but kept seeming to miss. When I decided to focus on my inner self, it was a big turning point in my spiritual journey. Ironically, it drove me to bring the question of whether I believe in Jesus or not. I thought I had believed in Jesus through my life, but when I started to ask myself seriously about my faith, I was not able to be so sure about it. Was my faith really based on believing or seeing Jesus' resurrection power in my life, or just based on the emotional feeling, or forced upon me at a young and impressionable age? Of course, I also felt a lot of moments when God was with me, but all came into question. I started asking questions myself more seriously. Do I believe in Jesus? Is God real? Perhaps I exaggerate certain negative attributes without seeing the whole picture. I'm trying to understand how this Christian journey might be repaired and what could be the truth. Maybe it does not matter what the truth is. Perhaps no one has a clear grasp on it. However, in my struggle, I am finding meaning in my spiritual process. I did not listen to those who have different religious background before, but now I'm trying to open my ears to many different views. Now I understand that there are some truths and wisdom in many traditions. Sometimes I'm worried that after all my strugglings, I will find that I no longer have God. But at the same time, I feel a strange confidence that I will have a stronger faith after this spiritual struggling, although I can imagine my struggles with the faith will end anytime soon. I hope my story does not discourage your faith, but instead be helpful for you to strengthen your faith by seeing and admitting different views. And one more thing, like Steve Jobs. My faith and I have benefited greatly from our church family as we settled here for the past 10 years. I have a clumsy and unsatisfactory way of sending appreciation to people. So the thank you message that I wanted to do hasn't delivered to our church family well. My family, and I truly appreciate all your help, support, prayer, sharing, and above all, love you showed us. I can't describe how much we are grateful. Meeting my church and church family is truly an amazing thing, even without knowing how much I believe in God.
Thank you for sharing this bit of your journey with us, Junhee. And among some of the questions he articulated, here are some that stood out to me. I think that they might also be questions for some of you. How can I believe in God when I don't hear God's voice? Where is the God that I can touch and feel? How does God change between the Old Testament and the New Testament? And how do I understand this God that in these books that we both read and practice? What does it mean to be a Christian with Christians from all over who have different views from me and sometimes seem to be hypocrites or to use a faith to abuse others? These are some of the questions that I heard Junhee articulate, and I think that many of you also have your questions. And so one thing that I am going to make the opportunity for, and I'll put something to fill out next week, if you have questions about faith, write them down, and then it'll be important to hear from you, and that can perhaps structure some of the sermons I'll give over the summer. I can try and wrestle with these questions of faith. Now, I'll also say in all my seminary training and in my 12 years of ministry, I can talk my way into creating neat little packages of answers for some of these questions, but sometimes it's not the kind of thing that you can just give to someone in a package. Sometimes you have to wrestle and work for it and find the meaning and the answers for yourself as you relate with God and with the church and with the world and what it is you bring from your past to this faith journey. As we journey together in this adventure of faith, we know the journey is not done yet. Jesus says, all it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed, and with that, you can move mountains. For all the questions and doubts, we hope that you can find within this congregation, Junhee, a sufficient amount of faith to hold you up when your faith cannot do it alone. Perhaps your satisfaction in what you call your church family is a place where you can further explore God's presence, showing up in relationship and calling you into the body of Christ. You and your family are a treasure to this church, and we look forward to hearing how the story continues. He's hiding. So thank you. Amen.